Crash Course Live is presented by
Smash It Demolition Derby, who hosts Bash for Cash, Blizzard Bash, and Capital City Carnage. Online at smashitderby.com. And Stirring Dirt Racing, host of May Mania's team show at the Golden Spike Arena in Ogden, Utah. Online at stirringdirtracing.com.
Reckless Abandoned Derby Apparel and Derby Inc. Magazine. This is the Crash Course Demolition Derby Podcast, recorded live at the FingerLakes1.com studios in downtown Seneca Falls, New York. And now your host, Chris Marquardt.
Good afternoon, good evening, welcome to episode number 208 of the Crash Course. Glad to have everybody along. Welcome. We are coming to you live from the North Park building here at Academy Square at Finger Lakes One headquarters. A couple of birthdays that I came across in the past week. The one that jumped right off the page, of course, Bad Ronnie. Bad Ronnie having a birthday, so happy birthday to him. And also our buddy Tommy Stark, Team BMF, having a birthday. Jason Sauer is going to be with us a little bit later on. He's down on Hollywood Beach in Florida watching the waves crash in. And I think he said he was going to be calling in, hanging out with Paul McCartney. I don't know if that's entirely what he said, but it was something pretty close to it. Yeah, 50 Cent was going to be down there. So Jason having a good time down at Art Dazzle in Miami. And then after that, we're going to be catching up with JC Molly to talk a little bit about the Florida Southern Nationals, which is coming up February the 10th. Had a great talk with Johnny Gullo earlier this weekend. That was a lot of fun to catch up with him. Again, talk a little bit about the plans for next year. Been back and forth with Tim and Russ a little bit this week with Smash It and all the plans they've got going for next year. Next year is going to be big, very big, very big. Got some feedback about more subframers that are being built for Bash for Cash. So I don't care what happens as long as at least one time through the course of that night we see a subframe appear just go all over the back of round back pillars. I think everybody's looking forward to that. And I had a conversation with Tori Schutte a couple weeks ago. And again, I'm hoping that his parents are recovering well. He did point out that we talk a little bit too much about Mopars on the show. So. But Brian joining us here in studio. Looks like
last week. Trying to figure out what happened. Monday, you were not well from your surgery.
Tuesday was
my kid's birthday. Wednesday, I got ordered at work.
That's what it was.
We're busy. Good to be back, though. I mean, a lot of stuff went on in the Derby world. Bad Ronnie McClellan picked up another bad dog. He's got to go over 100,000 miles on his truck that he bought last year in January, I believe. Took another, it looked like a Bubble Ford, maybe a Bubble Caprice. And out to the indoor show and got himself a mad dog. Congratulations, Ronnie. Happy birthday, Ronnie. A lot of cool stuff going on. Chris has touched on some of it. Some of it's, you know, behind the scenes. We can't really let out of the bag yet, but definitely some cool stuff coming up on the horizon.
It's going to be a busy 2018.
That's what I'm picking up.
starting to piece that together. It's going to be busy. Definitely going to be busy. I was trying to.
I think we got January off, though, right? There's no derbies in January yet?
As of today, yes.
Okay. February, March.
Mm-hmm.
May, for sure.
Mm-hmm.
Possibly June, I would guess.
June. Right now, June, it's something like 4.
Maybe 1 week.
It wouldn't be too bad. And then after that, just try stop trying to keep score. Mm-hmm. Just stop trying to. Stop trying.
Busy. A lot of new things coming out. A lot of cool stuff going on. So
it sounds like April's open. April. Yeah, I don't think we've got anything in April right now.
It's early.
Well, it's early.
Yeah, you're right. I was just thinking of something definitely in April. So.
But that doesn't mean that there isn't something that we're working on. Mm-hmm. The one and only Jason Sauer, who is the most recognized artist in America right now, most recognized graffiti artist, I guess, is one of the ways that we could put it, is hanging out with us tonight from down at Art Dazzle Expo. The story of how you got invited to Art Dazzle is almost as interesting as what you're doing at Art Dazzle this year. Last year, you ended up forcing your way in by dragging a demolition derby car around and making enough noise and it grabbing enough attention to get invited to that show this year, and now you're part of the expo.
That's totally what happened. Thanks for having me, guys.
For sure, man. How's everything going down there?
It's going great. I'm hanging here on Hollywood Beach. I'm watching the waves crash down. I've been looking forward to talking to you guys today. That's exactly what happened. Last year I went down and visited J.C. Molly's. I picked up Todd Sciopa's 501 wagon, and I painted it like an Ohio State car. Mm-hmm. And I was trying to impress a certain group of people who were from Ohio State, and it just so happens I managed to catch their attention. So what I did was put the car on the trailer, and I drove around Miami, and Miami's got a couple hundred thousand people that come to these events, and like you alluded to, Paul McCartney is one of the people. He's actually an artist here. He's actually in a booth just down from me, and you know, a bunch of other famous people, but he's probably the most recognizable for y'all. So what I did was I just kind of pulled the car and truck and trailer, so it's the Super Duty truck and trailer. In front of me was like a Porsche, Maserati. Behind me was like Lamborghini, and I just basically pulled up in traffic, stopped the truck, got out, and just brought the traffic to a halt. And I did it for an entire weekend. I only managed to get 3 tickets, so it really only cost me like $300 to make this type of scene. But people are clamoring to get their picture taken. They're crawling all over the car, and I just like promoting Demolition Derby in the art world that I hang out in, which is, you know, a ton of fun. So this year I got to be invited inside, so I didn't have to be outside, you know, doing my thing. Yeah, so I invited inside. I built a nice sculpture, and it's a door that I had Josh Carletto weld some legs on for me. And I'm going to be running a grinder on Wednesday. I'm going to be grinding up that door, and it's going to have sparks flying everywhere. I'm going to have a model. She's going to be getting sparks thrown all over her, and we're going to do some live art painting. And I'll be having my new T-shirts that I made for the Florida Team National shirts. I did a nice drawing of the diplomat from last year, of the Team AmVets diplomat. So I'll be handing away T-shirts to people who are interested in just trying to promote Demolition Derby here. Blizzard Bash had 10,000 people watching, and this event here is going to have 38,000. So it's got a little bit bigger crowd.
38,000 people, and he's a couple doors down from Paul McCartney. Leo DiCaprio is trying to buy paintings and 50 cents about to play on the stage, and he's hanging out with us.
you guys are my friends. If it wasn't for you guys, I would have never got here. So, thank you.
Just to put it all in perspective, I mean, when you started, you know, with your art, is this like something in your wildest dreams? You were hoping would happen?
I've had this dream since I was able to have dreams. I grew up in a junkyard spray painting cars, and my mom made cakes. She was an artist, so she had art history books laying around. And since I was a little kid, I always wanted to have a derby car in an art history book because I thought it was important. And for some reason, it's been my life mission since I was a tiny kid. And so this year, this week, I finally managed to get the Ghost Most Wanted, the Demolition Derby truck from Bash for Cash, and one of my paintings included in the brand newest art history book, the Top 100 Artists of America. And so I feel professionally accomplished in my goal. I mean, it took me whatever, since, you know, I've been trying real hard for probably like 24, 25 years to people to take me serious. And they finally took me serious after last year's Ohio State car, and now people are excited. They're just like, what are you going to do? Because people are used to just seeing, like, you know, paint just kind of, you know, moved around on a canvas. They haven't really seen someone run a 6-inch grinder. And I made a painting, and I'm just like Demolition Derby cars, the paintings don't last. So I made a painting with the intention of just ruining it on purpose and in front of everybody. And I think people are getting excited because I set up yesterday, and people are still coming in, setting up today, and they gave me the number one spot right by the door, and so I'll have all eyes will be on me, and I'm real excited and real thankful for everything that's happened to me.
I'm so happy for him. You know how cool that is.
Now you touched on being out at Blizzard Bash, and obviously you had your paintings on the walls again, and there was a lot of cars that you tagged or actually did the whole paint job on. Offhand, mm-hmm. Do you remember how many cans of spray paint you went through at Blizzard Bash this year?
This year I went through about 170. That wasn't bad. Last year we did probably 80. So I managed to double the amount that we used, and I bought this brand new gun by Graco that uses acrylic paint, and so we were able to spray 17 gallons of acrylic paint as well. So I was pretty excited for how much paint we got to move.
That's awesome. Now, obviously, you know, a lot of people that listen to the show, a lot of them watch the pay-per-view from Blizzard Bash. Do you just, like, when you start on a, like, the truck that won the truck heat that obviously had one of your paint jobs on it, did you have an idea, or did you start painting and then the idea came to you? Like how does it work when somebody says, hey, I want you to paint my car, do they give you an idea? Do you start and get the idea, or how does that happen for you?
Well, I try to ask them what they want, you know, first off, I mean, what do they want? If they don't really have an idea, then I ask them, who's the most important person? So, like, when I painted Josh Decker's car, you know, it was his mom. Yeah. So, you know, so these, I really enjoy painting tribute pieces. I feel like that's my best role is, you know, all these demolition derby builders put their heart and soul and their family into this sport. And, you know, I feel like I get to be a part of their family because I'm expressing a feeling that they have, whereas, like, you know, someone in the family has cancer, or they, you know, they want a certain theme, they want some lightning bolts or something, and I, you know, I'm very happy to have that role. So when I painted Justin's truck, they had some patch welding on the fenders that ended up looking like bricks. Mm-hmm. So that one was pretty easy. He's like, my friends say that this looks like bricks. I'm like, well, let's make this truck look like it's driving through a brick wall and, you know, paint bricks on the front of it. And then, you know, he was very specific. He wanted to have the PBR logo and a few of his other sponsors and all that on there. So when I paint, I'm like, I know that, you know, you want it to be red from the stands. You know, you want your sponsors to, you know, feel good about having their name on the car. So I watch NASCAR just for that. Mm-hmm. I watch how NASCAR puts sponsors, and I watch dirt track racing and monster trucks. I watch all that stuff, not just because I love the motors, but I watch it for the paint jobs, and I want to make sure that I'm, you know, I'm operating in a way that is, you know, different but similar, where we're getting the message across.
Yeah. I know with racing, you know, when I was a kid, you know, obviously all they had was paint. There was no stickers. And now, mm-hmm. unfortunately, everything's gone to stickers. And I'm not really knocking the stickers per se, but it seems like it's, to me, there's not as much heart and soul
cut vinyl.
Yeah, cut vinyl is a wrap as there is with somebody painting it.
We just had Dan Delaney, Dan the Sign Man.
Yep.
I don't know if you remember that guy from back in the day. He was on Final Round on Thursday.
Yep.
Talking about all the airbrushing and dragsters and stuff he used to do and some of the replica cars that people just like. There was such an internal argument where, because of header placement, a Quaker State logo had to be installed sideways so it followed the body line, but in all the pictures it looked like it was crooked. Mm-hmm. So they did this replica, and they were arguing with themselves like, do we correct this or do we leave it be?
And
the sign painters, it's just phenomenal what people could do. Mm-hmm. Back then, you know, in the 70s and 80s when those cars were being painted before vinyl really took over.
That's just the thing, you know. It's so cool, you know, to see what the artistic mind will do. And I'm really not knocking. Like, I think the signs you do are awesome. Because, I mean, I know guys that do graphics, and all they do is it's just a little variation off somebody else's paint job. And that gets annoying to me, you know, I've had it happen to my brother's cars countless times. But, I mean, like, for Jason, I mean, no two of his cars ever look the same. And, I mean, they look incredible, but I'm just like it – it boggles my mind that you're so talented and your mind is so like into what you're doing that like nothing looks the same. Everything is original. Like, I mean, you've done a bunch of stuff for the Sciopas and their stuff doesn't ever look the same. I mean, you know, you do Todd's and Steve's and Mark's, and I mean, they, you know, give you some ideas, but I mean, you don't ever make the cars look like they have before. I mean,
The only thing that's consistent is Todd's black and pink.
Yep.
Steve's is green and black, and Mark's red and black.
Yeah.
That's about it.
That's true.
It amazes me.
Oh, sorry.
No, you're good. You're good.
Oh, you know, growing up with in a junkyard, my uncles were, I had one uncle in particular that was really into pinstriping, and you know, he had an English wheel, and he was really into the detail work of building Studebakers and things like that. So growing up, I kind of gravitated towards my Uncle Ed, and he's the one that showed me, you know, the finer, how to use pinstriping brushes. And so growing up in high school, my vehicles were always pinstriped, and then when vinyl started coming out, I learned how to bend the vinyl and make crazy designs. And I kept with it and kept with it. And so I was trained classically, but, you know, I really wanted to rebel against it. And that's kind of where the graffiti came from.
Now, right now, if someone, you know, was to try to hire you to do an old school piece, I mean, are you still open to that? Or do you like to stick more with
absolutely.
The new?
Absolutely. Cool. And that's what I wanted to, that's what I did with Cancelvania's cars this year, is I hand painted them with the lettering paint. With the lettering brushes, and so their logos were really small, but I had just as many hours in it as I did a full paint job. So I really would like an opportunity. I know that I'm hoping Steve gets his car done in time. I have an art show in April in New York City, and I'm trying to take Steve's car there with a hand-painted paint job on it and take it downtown Manhattan and really show off some derby cars for people down there. So I'm hoping that plan that we have works out.
So you definitely have to park in front of Madison Square Garden and take a picture of that car.
Oh, that'd be awesome.
I will. My goal is, we'll drag it all over the city and just take pictures of it.
Yes.
And, you know, hopefully we have good places where we can rev it up and make some noise. And then if it goes well, if we're lucky, we'll take it off the trailer and do a donut in the street if it'll. I don't know. Derby cars don't do donuts very well because they're all. You know,
oh, yeah, they do. Yeah, they just got to lock up. Just stand on the gas, turn the wheel. It'll do it. Especially with the horsepower that Steve Siopa's motor has.
I feel like it shouldn't be an issue.
That'll be good. Now, we've also touched on before that you were in the service as a young man. Were you able to do much art when you were in the service, or was that kind of did you not have the time or not have the opportunity to work on your passion when you're in the service?
That's something I was able to do. I went into the Army as identifying as an artist.
Cool.
And they try to find things for me. Obviously, there wasn't any artistic expression, but I was able to help out the body shops when we were, because I went in as a truck driver, but I was able to moonlight, even though it wasn't my MOS, to, paint the flat black paint, because the unit I was in was deployed to the first Saudi war, was at Desert Storm 1.
Yep.
So everything was desert tan, but they needed to make it back to wood camo, like from the Vietnam era. Mm-hmm. And so I always got to be a part of that. Well, right now I am part of a veterans leadership group. We are building a giant sculpture out at the Air Force Base in Pittsburgh. Cool. So it's called Valor, and I'm very lucky that the government found me to, again, pick back up in my role as artist, as Army veteran. And so about once every other week, we go to meetings. And we go to the site, and we're building a sculpture, and I'm real excited because it's going to be a history of the current war effort, and it's basically a sculpture about post 9/11 soldiers and their families and the identity of post 9/11 military service. So we're excited. It's got a cool sculpture. It's going to be really big. It's going to be like a half an acre, so you're going to be able to walk through it and around it, and it's going to be solar powered, and they got a really good budget, and I'm really happy and thankful that the military has asked me to be a part of something cool again.
Awesome. You said that they found you. Is that because you're on some sort of list?
Well, it was ironic. What is it? They had this whole thing going, and they did not have a military person who identifies as an artist, and I was helping out the United Way. Painting a building, and it just so happened in that building was this military leadership office. So I was in the elevator, and the commander was in the elevator, and I was just telling my story like I do.
Right.
And she's like, "Oh my God, you're an artist and you're a veteran." I'm like, "Yeah." She's like, "I need you at the meeting in like 2 hours." So I walked over, walked into a meeting, and immediately I was involved in this giant project, and they made me feel very welcome and very thankful that I was there. So I got to paint a couple murals for the United Way for our community, and then at the same time I got to be a part of a really big project for the Army again.
That's awesome.
Your life is one giant, it's just one continuous story of right place, right time.
It's fun. I got to paint some fighter jets, and I painted an eagle, like, carrying a flag in its mouth.
Slow down.
I knew I was on a sculpture.
Wait. You can't just gloss over that. You got to paint fighter jets?
Yeah, it was pretty cool. I got to, put some of my marking on fighter jets and out there at the airport. And I don't have any pictures of it because I'm not allowed to take pictures of it. The military owns the rights to those pictures.
So
it was pretty cool.
So you, just to be clear, you tagged an Army, a jet fighter, or they asked you to?
Yes. No, they asked me to.
Okay.
Like, used my lettering paints. Like, remember how they used to paint the girls on bombers?
Yeah, definitely.
Yep. Yes, okay. Same thing, but it was just text-based.
That's awesome.
I got to do it.
That's awesome.
That's so cool. So where was the eagle carrying the flag?
That was the mural I painted at the United Way. The United Way is helping out homeless veterans, and they wanted the entryway to this specific office to be a feeling of welcome feeling for veterans when they come off the elevator. And so somebody in the organization knew that I was a veteran and hired me for the job. And so it was kind of all coincidence or fate how all that happened.
So awesome. On a project like that where you're working in a government agency, do you have to go through and do renderings and do proofs and get it approved before you put it?
Oh, my God, it's awful. I probably did like 8, but the end result was good, and I'm glad they made me do it because it just kept getting more and more simple. Because I had like troops going, like coming all out. You know, I made a real dramatic at the beginning where the troop was going to basic training and coming out and finding a home and like I was trying to tell a giant story.
Right.
And like they're like, no, less. And like, so I was like, all right, well, how about this eagle with a flag? And they're like, yes. So yeah, it was probably about 9. They even bought me a sketchbook. They're like, here's a sketchbook. We want the sketchbook when you're done too. So I filled the sketchbook up. And with a whole bunch of other drawings I was doing, I did a lot of Demolition Derby car preparatory drawings in it, getting ready for Blizzard Bash. Huh. And so they got that as well whenever they got the book.
Cool.
That's cool.
Yeah. It's fun. I'm real happy and excited to be a part of that. They do good work in southwestern Pennsylvania, and they make sure they find housing for these soldiers, and it turns out that Pennsylvania is the third largest state of military recruitment.
Wow.
Didn't know that.
For individuals who join, I don't know if I'm saying this right, but for a state that's not as big as California or Texas. So I assume it would be like California, Texas, and Pennsylvania.
That's awesome.
That has the most military recruitment.
That's awesome.
How about turning our attention to another trip to Florida that you're going to be making in February? You excited for the Florida Southern Nationals?
I am very excited. I cannot wait. I had my shoulder surgery, so this will be my very first derby back from shoulder surgery. I had to quit my 23-year run in Stoneboro, and so Randy Brazel's got that. Now him and I are neck to neck. He's got 24 years in at Stoneboro, and I got to start all over. But now I'm excited for Florida. My teammate in Team AmVets is Dwayne Haynes. And him and I ran the Diplomats last year. This year I'll be running a Bubble Ford, and I think he's got himself a wagon, so we won't be matching cars this year. But we're super excited to be part of the team show. I love the Florida team show. I think it's absolutely wonderful. I have, of course, my sponsors are Sciopa Racing, Smith Metalworks, my cousin Josh McFadden, and my other cousin Dane Joseph Clark. Are all helping me build this car because I am not a derby scientist. I am just a derby car painter. So they're going to help me get a Ford ready, and hopefully we do We do well. I just want to run the car into somebody as hard as I can. My goal is to put Steve Sciopa over the wall first. I hope it's us, him and I first. And so that's my goal.
Well, you might as well aim big.
Is this don't take this wrong. Is this going to be the best car you've ever had the chance to drive?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. I've never driven nice cars. You guys drive really, really cool cars. I drive cars and I run the tires that still come on it. You know, I put the gas tank in the back seat. I complain because I have to put a halo bar in. Yeah. Did my cars never start. I'm just out there to take pictures and, like, do what I can. But, you know, I've never driven anything. I mean, my Bash for Cash truck, yes, was the best thing I've ever driven. So
I was going to say, you almost won Bash for Cash.
I did pretty good. We caught the transmission on fire. I think we got fifth place or something. And now we got that fixed. We got it stored away in the barn, and it's ready for Bash for Cash again. Mm-hmm. And I am ready to run this Ford. I see everybody else run these Fords, and they look like they last a long time. I've never lasted, I would say, more than 6 or 7 minutes in a Derby in my 25 years of Derbying. So I would love a 10-minute window. If I could be out there and enjoy it for 10 minutes, I think that'll be a successful event for me.
That's awesome.
Did you ever hear Jason's story about the Prius?
No.
Oh, God. Jason, go.
All right. In the city of Pittsburgh, people know I smash cars, so they often donate cars to me. So this Prius came along, and I was like, whoa, let's not scrap this one. Let's see if we can run it in a Derby. So all summer long, I texted and tagged Toyota, basically asking, am I going to die? Am I going to become electrocuted? And so I asked around. Finally, Toyota got back to me. They're, you know, of course, they're going to say what they say. Don't do it. It's bad. And they sent me the sheriff's warning about hybrid vehicles. And hybrid vehicles, in some accidents, become electrified because the battery gets grounded to the car and it becomes an electrical charge. And then they told me about how Toyota works on the Prius. You got to wear like this rubber suit, and there's a 15-foot graphite pole off to the side of you, even if you're just working on whatever, because Priuses are bad. But I was like, well, that can't be that bad. So what we did is we just left the carpet underneath my feet on the driver's side, and I put an electrical tester in my pocket. So I was like, yeah, if this, you know, I'll touch it to the bar and see if it gets hot. So just like all my Derby cars, I just ran the tires that it came with, thinking that this was a joke. And I went in, passed inspection. They looked at it. They're like, this thing still has air conditioning. I'm like, yeah, I didn't do a single thing to it. I took it to Steve Sciopa's, and he helped me put a bar behind my back there. And I took it over to cousin Josh's, and he finished welding the door shut. And I took it into the Derby, and so I allowed people to run into me. And I was like, this thing's just going to stall. And like, and it never stalled, but then you couldn't hear it because you don't know if it's running or not. So you just push on the accelerator like it's a golf cart, and it kept moving. I was like, it's all right, well, I'm going to like run this car as fast as I can into whoever is furthest away from me. So I pulled the car all the way into the track, and I'm like, whoever's at the other end of the track is getting hit. So there's a great photograph of me hitting a W body and running the rear wheels all the way underneath the driver's seat of that car, lifting both our cars off the ground. And that Prius never shut off. And I was like, oh shit. All right. So I drove around a little bit more and ended up getting third place in a absolutely stock Prius.
That's awesome.
Isn't that crazy? But it didn't stop there. Then Jason turns around and they drive it into Most Wanted Fine Art, where it's on display. Yes. And then the parade comes around. Which parade was that?
It's the New Year's Eve parade. So the New Year's Eve parade, we have the Prius in the parade. So City of Pittsburgh knows I love this demolition derby stuff. So we got the car back up and running, and we put new tires and brakes and serpentine belt on it, and now it runs just fine. And it's now a parade vehicle. And so next year maybe we'll take it to Houston to their parade, but right now it's a Pittsburgh parade vehicle, and people can see a demolition derby car, and it just blows their mind. Like, what is this thing? Why does it still run? And you know, I get to tell people it's America's first hybrid demolition derby car. It's Prius, and they're like, my Prius can. I'm like, your Prius can withstand an accident. I'm like, you should feel confident in your Prius that a front end collision, you'll be just fine.
Something else art related that slipped my mind until just now. Would you like to tell the quick story of the music video that you and Todd Sciopa were released recently in?
Yes.
Oh, absolutely.
Forgot about that.
Yes. So a number of years ago, I was in a music video with Public Enemy, and the song is called Everything. So you can see me in there. I'm lip syncing to the song. I'm holding my young son Rowdy in the song. So I remained friends with Chuck D from Public Enemy and the director, filmmaker, David Snyder. So David Snyder's making the video for the Prophets of Rage album, and the Prophets of Rage is the Rage Against the Machine band with, Chuck D from Public Enemy is fronting it along with B-Real from Cypress Hill. So they have a new video out, and Chuck's like, no, we're missing something. Call your buddy up, Jason, and put this bar scene into the video. So as he's texting me, he's like, I need you to bring a friend, in quotations. So I'm like, oh, I got this. So I'm like, hold up. I call my friend, Todd, and I'm like, hey, friend, you want to be in a music video of me? And he's like, yeah, him and I love the camera. So we go to this music video. It's up, we rent out the second floor of a bar, and basically the scene is two dudes are fighting, and Todd and I are just chilling out, and we're like shaking our heads like, no, that's not cool. And so I got to see, I have the password for the editing video that the director's working on, so I can see him watching it, or I can see him working on it without, I'm not allowed to post it or anything. I can just see him doing it. So about 2 minutes in, if we don't hit the cutting room floor, Todd and I will be in another music video by the Prophets of Rage, and it's going to be their opening video as they go on their world tour. Before the band comes out on the stage, they're going to play this four-minute video. And so what I've also done is I texted them photos of the Demolition Derby car that Steve drove at Blizzard Bash. So that's why Steve's car had that. Well, was Todd's car, but Steve drove. One side of the car had the Public Enemy logo. The other side of the car had the Prophets of Rage logo. So as that car was being hauled off the track, I took a great photograph of it, like being hooked up to the forklift, and I sent that photo to the director. So I'm hoping that there's like a montage of photos in the video, and I have fingers crossed, Todd and I have our fingers crossed, that that car makes its way into the video along with our acting skills.
That is awesome.
Isn't that something? And what motor is your Ford going to have?
It's going to have a Vortec. I just followed what Steve told me. He told me to get the Vortec, get the 400. So I got the 400. I got a Vortec out from my uncle's shop down in Texas. I have a van. And cousin Dane and I are going to put it together. And I'll probably go to Big Rock and get the you wrap the motor armor there and some headers from him. Yep. And I'll get that from him. And we're just going to run that because I don't want to torch out the red line out of the truck. I want to leave the truck running as is. I don't want to leave. I see how much work all my friends and cousins do on my vehicles, and I'm just like, they're like, oh, we could just cut that thing out and put it right. I'm like, that sounds like a lot of work. I'm like, let's just get a new motor. Mm-hmm. Let's have two motors. And I know that Randy managed to win Stonebro with a stock 318, so I feel confident with a slightly more than stock built Vortec, we should be okay.
One of the displays that they had in the museum was Jason took a satellite, right? A satellite.
73 Plymouth Fury.
Fury. And put it up on the wall. Did you ever see those pictures?
Yeah, I saw that. That was awesome.
That was pretty cool.
Yeah, my wife Nina, was able to put it in a museum in West Virginia. So right now it's on the second floor of a museum in West Virginia, where people get to see it. So she helps me out, my wife, a whole bunch in creating my dreams and making them come true. So I've been having a hard time getting a full car into a museum. So I was like, well, let's just cut a car up. And so we have a whole half of a car hanging off the wall, and my buddies are asking me to please come up with a lighter solution to the problem, because it takes 4 to 5 dudes to carry that side of the car into the property and onto the property. But it's pretty cool. We had the mayor of, what was it, Pittsburgh, got his photo with it. So when we took it to Wheeling, West Virginia, the mayor of Wheeling, West Virginia wanted his photo taken with it. So I have two mayors from two cities that came and got their picture taken, specifically searched us out to get a picture taken with the Demolition Derby car. So I feel like I'm doing pretty good at promoting our sport on a daily level. And so it's a ton of fun, and it's fun to see people get excited, because the first question is they're like, did you drive that? And I'm like, yeah, I drove that. They're like, really? And then I get to just tell them a story about what Demolition Derby means to me and how important it is. And and I could see the wonder in their eye, and then I try to tell them about the latest one, or if they can't watch it, they can watch it on the internet on pay-per-view. And so right now I got a couple bars in the city of Pittsburgh that show the pay-per-view. They buy the pay-per-view and show it on one of their TVs off on the corner.
Cool.
And so they have viewing parties. There's three bars there in Pittsburgh that do that for me.
That's sweet. Outstanding. Well, that I know everybody at Derby Nation appreciates that support. We certainly do. We've sort of missed a little bit of a topic. We've sort of danced around it twice now in the rotation of our conversation. Is we talked about your dreams, and your dream was always to get in an art history book, and then Art Dazzle is in conjunction with the release of said art history book that you've now got yourself into. You're featured in that book because of the truck that was at Bash for Cash that earned you ultimately the recognition. Title of the book is Top 100 Most Recognized Artists in America. So that's a realization of a pretty significant dream, and it's a pretty significant accomplishment, really. I mean, I know you're typically a pretty humble guy when it comes to talking about yourself and not talking about Demolition Derby. What's this mean? I mean, this is a big step for you.
It's definitely a dream come true. It's everything I've ever wanted. I'm gonna have to come up with a new dream now. But I really thought it was gonna take my whole life and my death to make that dream happen. So to see it while I'm still alive is an amazing thing. I hope my son recognizes how much effort myself and my wife put into making this happen. I know she's super proud of me. She's been texting me all day because she's still at home about this effort that we managed to accomplish. And it's fun. I use it as a military term. I've left flanked the art world. I didn't come into it from the normal roots. I'm not from money. It's usually money that gets this acknowledgement. And so I came in from a very hardworking blue collar, upbringing that allowed this to happen. And I was so excited that the paint job was good. I was like, of all the paint jobs that could have been, that they could have acknowledged, I was happy that it was the one that was on the truck. And on that truck is a tribute to my friend that was murdered in February. So it's a tribute to him as well. Savon was my good friend for, 10 years. And, he fell victim to some violent crime. And so that truck is a tribute to him. So I'm very happy and I feel very rewarded that my tribute piece that I like to paint is what is being acknowledged at the highest levels.
Mm-hmm. Now, Jace, just between us, I mean, there's not many people that really listen to this show anyways, but just between us, do you ever paint something and then get done with it and not like what you would not like what you've done? Serious question. Like, artists, I mean, the stuff that they come up with, like, the general public thinks it's incredible, but I mean, like, do you ever come up with something and you're like, damn, that sucks, and like, you don't like it? Does that ever happen to you?
I mean, that's how I wake up every morning. my self-critique is really loud. I want to get better. Every time I look at something I did, if it's like 3 weeks old, I'm like, I've progressed since then, and I want to be better than what I was 3 weeks ago. So the answer to your question is yes. I, in a way, don't like them, but in a way, I know that, this is the learning curve. This is the learning process. And because you Demolition Derby guys keep pumping out cars like every single week, you allow my learning curve and learning process to continue to get better. And that's what kind of makes it exciting, because even if the paint job is good or the paint job is bad, it's gone. And I feel like that's an important part of going to see a Demolition Derby live. Yeah. Is, not just the paint job, but like that's part of the experience. You're like, oh, cool, there's one of Sauer's paint jobs, but like, 15 minutes in, it's gone. And, yeah. You know, so if you weren't there, you know, you see it like in video or on Facebook or something, but the experience of it, I like the idea that it's temporary and it's, you know, it's, you know, kind of let you know, remind you that you're human and you're alive and these experiences that you're experiencing are real and they're part of your life. And I feel, you know, that's my deep talk there.
That's cool.
I really do think, you know, I want to get better. I want to get better at text. I want to have cleaner lines and I want to be able to get more graphic in a way where I can add like some elements that, you know, become more of a signature style. So I've been working on quietly. I've been working on this double emboss looking thing where I'm trying to make it look like chrome, but like, you know, it's got an embossed edge. So it's like, it's a lot more effort. And so that's something I want to try to bring out for 2018. I'd like to at least get one car that has a successful, in my, you know, a successful interpretation of an embossed chrome.
Well, there's usually, you know, three or four cars right there in around your hometown that run a lot of derbies. So, I mean, I'm sure that crew would have an open spot or two for you to paint on their car.
They will. Between Smith Metalworks and Sciopa Racing, there is a car, you know, if not every weekend, every 10 days.
Absolutely.
So, it's pretty cool. And, you know, I appreciate what you guys do for the Derby World. You guys are out here, you know, putting in it, you know, what is this, 208? What is that, like 4 years? What was that?
Yeah.
How many years is this?
Yeah, this is, I think we're starting year. We started this in 2013. So, yeah, we're in the throes of year four, working year five.
That's, you know, that's important. And I commend you guys for your efforts on that. That's, you know what I mean? That's really great. And I, you know, I appreciate it. I listen to the podcast and I get excited to meet new people because you guys know like quite a few people and I don't know those people. So it's your podcast that introduces me to the people that, you know, are important to this sport, you know, because I'm coming from this sport from my little Stoneboro, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania background. So I don't really know it on a national level. And it wasn't until my wife introduced it to me. She was searching it out. She's like, do you know there's some dudes that race derby cars just down the street? I'm like, who are they? And she's like, it's the Choppas. I'm like, who the hell are the Choppas? So,
that's awesome. You
know, so I got to meet them. So, I mean, this world and podcasts and Facebook really has made a world that I felt pretty alone in and felt very strongly about really, like, come right to, it's in my pocket now. I can see this world.
Right.
And so you guys are there helping support that, and I appreciate it.
We try to make it smaller.
Absolutely.
Just keep making it smaller. we got to get JC Molly's on here in a few minutes, but Jason, congratulations on all the success, and that's a huge understatement for what you've been able to accomplish in terms of right now. You know, you're out there rubbing elbows with 50 Cent, Leo DiCaprio, Paul McCartney. You're going to be grinding off one of your paintings and spraying sparks all over a model as you're celebrating being put into the top 100 most recognized artist book after you've drug a painted derby car all over Miami. I think the side flanking story is likewise an understatement. You've done a lot and certainly earned your spot there.
Well, I appreciate it, and I appreciate that you guys allow me to be a part of this. You guys make me feel like family, like I'm doing something good. And, you know, it goes a long way, and I super appreciate it.
Send us some pictures, man. Let us know how it's going from down there, and we'll get them up there on the Crash Course page. We'll get them in Derby Ink Magazine for the next issue coming out.
Sounds great. And as soon as that video comes out with Todd and I acting,
yes,
I'll let all y'all know. So it's supposed to be any minute now, so
awesome.
I'm excited.
I can't wait to see it.
Very cool.
I can't wait to see it. Enjoy your time down there. Be safe getting home. And we look forward to hearing some updates, Jason. Thank you.
All right. Go team.
We'll see you later. See you, Jason.
Bye.
There goes Jason Sauer, live from Hollywood Beach down in Miami. We made some references to it. We'll tell you about it now. The Florida Southern National Showdown is February the 10th, two-man team demolition derby. There's going to be 20 teams from all over the nation. Johnny Gill is bringing a team. I think some of the West Coast crew is going to be coming out. I know Pennsylvania is going to be well represented. New York's going to be represented. Josh is going to have a car down there. Hernando County Fairgrounds is the site, 6436 Broad Street in Brooksville, Florida. Tickets and event info is out there now, HernandoFairgrounds.com, if you're looking for more details. And on the same day, Winter Slam, February the 10th, 2018, in St. Peter, Minnesota, the Winter Slam event. If you want to be part of it, you're going to have to get your entry in for 2019 because 2018 is full, basically, front to back across the board. 35 cars max in all the divisions. They're paying the top 10 in all the divisions. Full-size weld class, 2,000 to win, 1,350, 750, 500, 300 through the top five. 80s chain class, 1,000 to win there, 750 to 400, 300, 200 through the top five. Light build trucks, always entertaining to watch those. 1,000 to win, 600, 300, 200, 150, back through the top five in that. Compacts, they're 108 inches and less. 1,000 to win, 600, 300, 200, 150 through the top five there. Each class has a heavy hitter award. It's all one and done. It's four one and done through the course of the day. $300 in the trophy, go to the heavy hitters. Best paint, $100 in a plaque. Longest tow gets $100. Second longest gets $75. Best Western Mankato has a bunch of room specials going. $99 for a double, $109 for poolside. 507-625-9333. You got questions, send it to Randy Lasoski, 507-327-1944, or get a hold of Jeremy Ertman, 507-525-4290. So working backwards from there. Oh, working forwards from there. Yeah, be working forwards from there. Yeah, that's how it works.
One's in February, one's
gotta
in March.
Got to go forward to go back, I suppose, right? Capital City Carnage 2018. Online for more information, you can jump on capitalcitycarnage.com. That one is going to be at the Kansas Expo Center in Topeka, Kansas, March the 15th, 7 to 10 o'clock. That's the heat draws and the pit party after all the tech inspection wraps up. March the 16th is March the 16th. 7 p.m., limited weld heats, 1 through 10, top 2 advance, 100 car maximum for the limited weld class. 10 o'clock, limited weld constellations, 1 to 5, top 2 advance, and the compact feature is also scheduled for the 17th of March at 10 o'clock. That is part of a doubleheader. 7 o'clock start time is the extreme two-man feature, 2,500 to win, the modified feature, 2,500 to win, and the limited weld finals paying 10,000 to win. It's a $5,000 Mad Dog award. It's a pretty good payout right there. Smash It, Demolition Derby is going to be overseeing that one. They're also overseeing this one, Basher Cash 2018 in the Ross County Fairgrounds in Chillicothe, Ohio. Near It, Big Rock kicker class paying $11,000 to win. New and old iron also eligible now for that, and previously that kicker class was 80s and newer. Everything's available and eligible to go and compete. Old iron bonus in place. If you win, you get a $3,000 bonus, or it's an extra $1,500 to the highest placing old iron if it's won by a metric. On the flip side of that, the DerbyTees.com Turn Back the Clock class is going to be paying some pretty serious money too, and there's a metric bonus there. $3,000 to win in that class, $3,000 to win bonus if a metric wins it, or a $1,500 bonus to the highest placing if it's won by an old iron. $10,000 to win DEC header compact class, Frank the Tank old school wire class, full size trucks, youth compacts, compact wire class. Those guys all have openings at $75 to enter. 80s wire class and the street stocks, they're already all full.
Hard to believe.
Very true. Very true. May Mania 2018 is right around the corner. It's going to be May 18th and 19th in Salt Lake City. It's going to be following the same format as the Heber City program was last year. So we're going to be keeping an eye on that as it develops. Again, Johnny Gold will be on to talk about that in the coming weeks. Big thank you from Stern Dirt Racing, sterndirtracing.com, to all the drivers, supporters, and partners, and especially the fans that helped make 2017 a successful year for Stern Dirt Racing. So I've got to get J.C. Molly's on the phone to catch up with him for a few minutes about that Florida Southern National shootout.
Chris, what are you doing New Year's Eve?
I'm going to be in Waterloo.
The third annual, third annual Crash Course New Year's Eve party at the Waterloo Holiday Inn. Tickets are available on the Crash Course page on Facebook. The advanced sale has ended, I believe.
No, you can still
advanced sale.
Yeah, we're still okay.
So that is, and it's a great time. I mean, we've touched on it before. You know, we all go to the derbies and, you know, see all our friends, and, you know, we're blessed to be able to travel a lot, and we get to see people. But we always feel like we don't get enough time to talk and just shoot the breeze and tell stories. Well, this is the chance. You know, I was, I think back to the first show when I was sitting with Mad Mike DeFrisia, Sam Bandow, Ben Host,
And you knew enough to just listen.
Yeah, and I just sat there and listened. Brett Relier was there. I mean, there was, you know, we really just sat back and told stories. And I mean, just, it's a really good night. You know, there's giveaways and car raffles and door prizes where you win cars and just a great night. I mean, if you're on the fence, you know, I think if you come, you're going to be satisfied and happy with what goes on.
It's $280 for a couple, and that includes your overnight accommodations, champagne toast at midnight, 4 hours of open bar, Creekside Entertainment DJ is going to be playing all night long, and champagne toast at midnight, plus all of your food on the buffet.
Yeah.
So it's a, now with that $280,
can you get a Chris or a Josh Decker autograph as well? Or
so did you really just correct yourself?
Yeah.
Did you start to say?
I met Josh Decker. I mean, you know, he is the famous one of the world.
Because Josh is going to be really mad that you made that mistake.
I know. Hopefully, he doesn't fire me. But with the $280, can you get them a autograph?
Oh, absolutely not. No, nothing guaranteed.
All right. Maybe next time.
Oh, that's horrible. Actually, that's one of the debates that's going on right now on one of the waffles that they're doing on the Sanfilippo page.
A Josh Shecker autograph?
Yeah, it's getting intense. I jumped in to try and help, but it did not work. It did not work. JC Molly's hopefully JC Molly's going to be able to jump in and help Josh when he starts getting his bell rung down there in Florida.
He's going to be one of the guys ringing it.
Florida Southern National Showdown. JC, how are you?
All right, how you doing, Chris?
What's
up, bud?
We're doing good. How's everything coming together for that show? I mean, we're about 2 months away.
It's still coming together. We're pretty much full. We got 24 teams, 48 cars, which pretty badass guys all over the country and Canada we got coming. The semi-stock show, we only got 5 spots left. And the front-wheel drive show, we only got 4 spots left.
That's awesome.
That's crazy.
That's awesome. So, Joe, we know how busy the shop usually is. Is it the same way right now? I mean, you got 5 or 6 cars in there working on them, getting them ready for the upcoming season, or are you in a little lull right now, or what's going on?
We got I just pulled Troy Tagg's car in, the Bill and Troy Tagg's car and Johnny Gulo's car this year, and we just got Troy's in this weekend. The chassis is pretty much done. We got a couple big sponsors coming on this year. David Diver over at Big Rock sending us a pallet of goodies so these guys could do a lot better this year with some good stuff, you know?
Cool. Very cool.
And Mad Mike's coming down. Are you going to release a full list at some point of who's coming? You're going to have to be there to find out.
No, we're going to – in about a week and a half to 2 weeks, we're going to release the list plus the payouts and everything. We've just been working real hard trying to get more sponsors to get more money up. But, you know, Florida was kind of dead 3 years ago, and it's starting to pick up now, and people are starting to come on board, and hopefully it just grows, keeps growing. I mean, who would want to come to Florida in February?
No kidding.
It's a no-brainer.
Mm-hmm.
The show itself, is that at this point the biggest demolition derby in Florida?
Absolutely. Florida hasn't seen this caliber of a demolition derby ever. I could be positive of that.
Right. You said that the state was essentially dead not too long ago. Are there other derbies now that are cropping up since this one has started to gain traction?
Well, we've had a lot of venues call us and want to put derbies on.
Mm-hmm.
Mo Kerner, he does the Crash-Rama series, and he just does the front-wheel drive derbies, and, you know, they do all the flagpole race, all that crazy boat trailer race. I mean,
sure.
his deal is on fire, but as for big cars and just strictly standalone derby stuff, this is it.
With the salt water in the coastal areas, and then on top of that, the hurricanes that have come through over time, what's the car climate like in Florida? Can you still find old iron cars? Are you looking just at new stuff that gets turned over by the municipalities? What are you getting your hands on?
Well, let's see. I'm looking at my yard right now. I got 27 Caddies and Impalas, so it's not dried up down here by any means. It's just a matter of I got so many people every day. They send me text messages, Facebook messages. They find cars and people's yard and give me address. And, you know, kind of networking. If you know the right people and you got the money, you can have the cars. Old Dying, there's plenty of it down here. You just have to find it.
That's crazy. So, well, hang on. You said that there's 27 of them at your shop, which is a mix of Old Iron Caddies and Impalas. But does that mean it just hasn't dried up for you? Is everybody coming to you trying to buy cars at this point, trying to buy them off of you, letting you do the hard work and find them?
Well, they try to buy them, but, you know, the only one I really sell to is Steve Silva. So
I was going to say, how many of them Impalas got Steve's name on them already?
He's already got his stash, but we're going to, probably after this show, we're going to stack up again, because I just got a 68 Imperial. That's the only oddball I have in the bunch right now.
Yeah, and I'm sure that'll be built and ran somewhere this May, maybe, if I was guessing.
Yeah, that's a possibility. we plan on doubling our chances this year, so we'll see how that works out.
That's awesome.
Interesting.
That is awesome.
So how...
We're excited that you guys come back, and we appreciate it. And, you know, you guys gave us all this help, and Josh is running this year. So I heard somebody was saying, I don't know who, but it was like $100 if Josh winds up on the lid.
Strange. I heard that same thing at Blizzard Bash. I heard the guy that said it is good for the money too. So if Josh ends up on his lid, I hear there's $100 going to the driver that does it.
Who said this?
You know, strange things happen in pits.
And then Johnny Gulo and Gumby at Stern Dirt, they sent us $1,000 for the Mad Dog, which that's gonna do real good for us and help out whoever's gonna be out there to be the Mad Dog.
Is that event wide, so a compact guy could win that $1,000 just as easily as somebody in the full size class?
No, it's just the $1,000 is just going to be for the team event.
Okay, all right.
Somebody learned that, I'm sure. Now, is this? I've never been on a track before. Is this track asphalt or is it dirt track?
It's actually clay.
Clay.
And sweet. Yeah, we got Robert Majors at Major Site Development working on it already with Richard Kilmes, who kind of runs the Hernando County Fair.
Cool.
Where it's going to be, and got the rolls out there. It's going to be, the track is going to be solid. It's going to be like running on asphalt.
That's awesome. What was the track that had a derby a couple years ago that was on blacktop, but they like sprinkled sand down over the top of it so that it was harder to get traction? It slowed the cars down.
That was DeSoto Speedway.
DeSoto.
That's when Josh came down and raced and won Mad Dog.
Mm-hmm. He's won a couple states now.
He's been around.
He's doing all right. Does DeSoto have anything going on anymore in terms of derbies?
No, DeSoto's closed up. They're looking to, it's actually, the sale has been open for about 8 months now.
Wow. Mm-hmm. Exactly. Sad.
Housing development or lows.
Mm-hmm.
That's usually what happens.
That's what I'm thinking.
It's unfortunate. Or, hey, you could buy it. And that's a nice dry spot to stockpile all your cars.
Yeah. We tried to make a deal, but, you know, people get greedy and they're not happy with just getting out of it and getting a little money. They want a lot. So,
absolutely.
Whatever.
Who else can you tell us at this point? I know the list isn't out, but who else can you tell us is coming down there?
Well, we got Sam Bandow and Mike the Fisher, their team. Then we got Rick Clark out of Canada will be down. Look, I have the list right here.
I'm sure Ron McClung's going to make the trip again.
Jason and Dwayne Hayes. You got Casey and Chance Smith will be down.
Okay.
You got Tyrell Jones out of Utah. You got Russell Argo and James Williams out of Georgia. And then we got Jojo Davis and his teammate out of North Carolina. We got Donnie Lane and Andy Anderson.
It's a wide range of states.
What?
It's a wide range of states you're talking about right there.
We got 22 states in Canada.
That's awesome.
That's fantastic.
And then in the compacts, which I can't believe that, we got Kentucky, Florida, Missouri, Pennsylvania, New York, Vermont, Massachusetts, South Carolina, North Carolina, Virginia. So that's, you know, they come in there. But the amazing part is we have so many people coming just to watch. I mean, mm-hmm. I've been handing out on Facebook the code for the hotel room so they can get a discount. And it's just like every day I get like 3 or 4 people to come and they want to make reservations and want to know where it's all at. So, I mean, not only are we going to have the drivers, we're going to have there's a party of 38 guys coming from Canada just to watch.
Wow. You know? That is awesome.
Yeah, I mean, it's just amazing how, and you know, last year was our first year, and it really was thrown together in 2 months, and this year we had a whole year to work on it and talk to people. We've gone to the big shows and talked to, you know, all sorts of drivers and vendors and getting ideas. And actually, from what I understand, I think Tim and Russ Clark will be making an appearance down here for the show. They said they'd like to come down and check it out.
Wouldn't surprise me.
No.
Not at all. Not at all. It's definitely grown a bunch from last year. And I mean, you know, I think it's only going to gain popularity. I mean, who doesn't want to go south in February and wreck cars or see cars get wrecked? I mean, you know, it's definitely, I think it's a great event. Just going to continue growing.
Yeah, well, word has it on the street that we might be getting a sponsor to get a couple packages for Disney for some of the drivers, you know, that you guys are going to pick. So hopefully they come through with that, and then we'll have a couple families enjoying their trip more than they would have.
Wow, that's impressive.
That would be cool, right?
Yeah. Imagine seeing Josh at Disney. His picture taken with Minnie Mouse.
Well, I think the characters will be asking to have their picture taken with him.
Probably.
Right? I mean, isn't that more? Can you imagine Chip and Dale coming up?
That'd be cool.
Yeah. Mickey Mouse be like, "Oh, Josh Decker, can I get your picture?"
Mm-hmm.
Running up yes. to him.
So, I mean, how great would it be for the trackside interview where you find out who's going to get that and say, "So, what are you going to do with your prize?" And they get to say, "I'm going to Disneyland.
I'm going to
Disney. The Super Bowl."
That would be awesome. That would be cool.
That would be pretty wild.
Looking forward to it.
Yes.
That's going to be an awesome trip.
The driver's roster is coming together as a monster. 24 teams now is what you're up to, and that 48-car field now is locked. You're not taking any more?
No more for the team show. No, we already got 17 signed up for next year. So
wow.
we're gonna have to figure out what we're gonna do. They missed out this year, but you know they committed already, signed up, and sent the entry in for next year.
How does that work in terms of the show itself? Are you just gonna go with 24 teams? Are you gonna go head to head? You're gonna put 4 teams on the track at one time? How's that bracket gonna shake out?
It's gonna be two-man teams on track, winner advances, and then we'll have a Conti at the end, and whoever, I don't know how many teams we're going to take out of the Conti, and then we'll just have everybody in a track. So you figure we'll have 24, we'll probably have close to 30 cars on the track at the same time. It's going to be pretty badass.
Yeah. It's going to be something. It's going to be awesome. Going to be one to watch. HernandoFairgrounds.com has all of the order information for the Florida Southern Nationals Showdown. HernandoFairgrounds.com. You can order your tickets there. It's a two-man team demolition derby. The compact element's there. Tons of fans from all over the country are going to be coming down to watch it. We're going to be streaming it from there down in Florida. Josh, Ben, and Brian are going to be making the trip down there to cover that event, and then I'm going to be making the trip to Minnesota to go cover that one, splitting everybody up. But they're going to take all the equipment, and they're going to do a great job getting that demolition derby out to all you folks who want to watch from home. JC, man, is there anybody sponsor-wise that you wanted to make mention of now? I know you sort of alluded to a few of them a little bit. Is anybody that you want to identify?
Well, we got to have a big thanks for John Cash. He's kind of the guy behind the scenes. He doesn't like recognition or anything, but he does put a lot of time and effort, and he's kind of the guy behind me that does all the paperwork and all the sponsorship papers that we need to get done and get stuff organized. I'm kind of like the guy that just goes and gets stuff done. big thanks to him. And you know, we couldn't do it without Steve Cioppa and Todd Cioppa. They wanted this right from the beginning, and we got 100% of their support. And the other vendors, we'll mention them later on at another date, because okay. I want to get everybody together. I don't want to forget anybody.
Sure.
Cool. That's pretty much it. And I want to thank you guys again for doing what you do, and you know, just by doing whatever you do and helped us out, doubled the show this year. Everybody's talking about it, so I appreciate you guys. Keep up the good work.
Well, we're happy to be a part of it. It's what we set out to do. I'm glad that was working for you, that you guys were able to double your show. that's pretty impressive, and you're already booking teams for next year. You got 7 teams locked in, 14 cars already ready to go in 2019. That's pretty cool. I'm happy for you guys. I'm glad it's going well. Be sure to keep in touch with us as we go through the winter. If you got more news or anything that's breaking regarding the show, be sure to stay in touch. We'll have you on again, and we'll go through that list of sponsors for you as well.
Okay. I appreciate it. Thank you.
You bet, JC. Joe. We'll talk to you soon.
All right. Good night.
See ya. There goes JC Molly's. Wrapping up his quick spot on the Florida Southern Nationals shootout. Covered a lot of ground tonight.
We did. a lot of cool stuff.
Yep. And we're going to be back here again next Monday. We've got a couple different avenues that we're working on this week. We'll try to have that show information out for everybody like we did today. Got it out middle of the day, so everybody was tuned in.
Yeah,
and,
like
and
I went out for lunch and you already had stuff
going. I know. I was impressed. It was one of those things called preparation.
How you feeling?
Better. Good. A lot better. Good. A lot better. It was getting back to school the first couple of days was a lot rougher than I was anticipating.
Yeah, moving around and you got some holes in your abdominal wall. It doesn't feel good.
There was four of them. Four mm-hmm. holes, and they were pushing for me to take it easier a little bit longer. And I was like, it's going to be fine. And then I got to school, and it's like, wow, they weren't joking. It's like you got a couple slits that are pretty good size, and all you got holding your intestines in place are a couple stitches. And you don't want to go tugging and jerking on those, apparently. They weren't joking.
It hurt a little bit.
Yeah.
But you're Chris Marquardt. No one else is, so here you are.
Don't ever stop.
And we got a touch. You had an RC Derby this weekend, correct?
The RC Derby happened under our rules, and I was in Van Emmons, Pennsylvania when the Derby happened. So okay. It was all of the Derby guys came together, and, cool. and we had Chris Brothers and his crew from Messina came down. Mike Cooley and Anthony Guerrieri ran there. Obviously, Jerry Brown and Jamie Brown, they were going to run. Jamie Eldridge was there. Justin junked Jamie's car, if I remember right. But they had a great Jeremy Cady and Jimmy Petro, Ryan Davenport, all those guys went down there and ran. They had a ton of cars. Lee and Marty Sager.
Cool.
They went and ran. It was one of the best turnouts that they've had.
Cool.
And I kept joking with everybody that after I told everybody that I wasn't coming, that they all decided to show up with their cheated cars. But they all worked together, and everybody was legal. There was no fighting. There was no nonsense good. At all. It was a very, very successful show. It was good. And there were some outlaw cars that were turned inside out, which I love to see that. When outlaw cars are getting bent, that means they're hitting really hard.
Yeah, that's pretty exciting.
I'm glad you mentioned that. I don't want to forget that. I'm glad you brought that up. But, yes, it was a very successful weekend for those guys that went down there and supported that. We had an RC race at Van Emmons down in Westfield, PA. And that was a good show, too. We had a good time with that.
Cool.
But I
Which
think,
body did you run?
Huh?
Which body did you run?
I ran the Crash Course 25. Did you see that one?
I have not.
The blue, white, and gray car? Mm-hmm. I'll have to show you.
You probably showed Josh.
No, I don't think anybody's seen it. RC racing isn't really something that seems like you guys get that excited about. I mean, you're into it a little bit more, but we're not even on dirt at times. Mm-hmm. So the cars aren't even getting dirty. I have to vacuum the car more than I have to clean the dirt off. So is that – I mean
– I just like the bodies you make.
You're just going to – well, I got to – that actually we'll get into that after the show. I got tons of stuff to show you about that front. But that, I think, is going to wrap it up for episode number 208, solid hour and 10 minutes of Demolition Derby talk in the middle of the beginning of December. I guess you can't argue with that. We'll be back again next week with another edition 209 on deck as we creep closer and closer to our New Year's Eve party. Hope to see you there. That's going to do it for this one for us from the North Park building here at Academy Square in downtown Seneca Falls. We'll be back next week.
Crash Course Live is presented by
Smash It Demolition Derby, who hosts Bash for Cash, Blizzard Bash, and Capital City Carnage. Online at smashitderby.com. And Stirring Dirt Racing, host of May Mania's team show at the Golden Spike Arena in Ogden, Utah. Online at stirringdirtracing.com. Reckless Abandoned Derby Apparel and Derby Inc. Magazine.
This is the Crash Course Demolition Derby Podcast, recorded live at the FigureLinks1.com studios in downtown Seneca Falls, New York.